Hello, 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 everybody. This is Dr. Herbin from the Married to My Purpose podcast. I am Dr. Serelda, and I am joined by my good friend, Miss Maya Dijon. She is all the way in California, y'all. I'm jealous. I don't know if it's cold there, but I'm in Virginia, and it's getting kind of nippy over here. So you can tell she's nice and sunny, a California girl, it seems. And we're going to get a chance to get to know her tonight. I am looking forward to this. I've read her story. I've listened to her YouTube. I've gone to her website, and she is the founder of Chill Vibrations, Just Chill. So I am excited to have her on tonight. So Maya, welcome to the Married to My Purpose podcast, and thank you for the opportunity to have a conversation for a few minutes tonight. So tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started.
Of course. Thank you, Dr. Serelda, for having me today on your podcast. So I would say, if I would tell you a little bit about me, I would say that I am someone who's dedicated to building healthy relationships and helping people to be able to find the love that they need and want in their life. That is something I've been passionate about for many years now, even before I became a clinician. And I just was able to take my passion and create a career and doing it now as a relationship coach.
Wow. So I read some of your story regarding having to sleep in a car and having a dream to attend UCLA, and then, you know, getting this miracle, as what I would call it. I don't want to tell the story because you said it much more eloquently than I read it. So tell us a little bit about that and your journey.
Yes. Yeah, so I've always been, since 5 years old, I've always been invested in the arts. I grew up in the arts, ballet, jazz, tap. I was a singer in the Brooklyn Academy of Music since I was
Are you singing tonight? Yeah. Are you singing for us tonight?
No. I don't do that anymore. But my mother kept me invested in the arts because financially we grew up poor. So the only thing she had really is a distraction for me to find peace in the arts. So that is my love and foundation. I would say that was a lot of therapeutic care I received from various forms of art. So that's what I utilized to cope a lot growing up. So when I became an adult, I wanted to focus more on in the arts as a career. So even though I was born in Pasadena, I moved around a lot. Me and my mother moved around a lot growing up, and my mom had a lot of struggles financially and mental illness struggles as well. And so we actually were houseless, unhoused in Brooklyn, New York when I was a teenager. Wow. And so it, yes, exactly. Her family was helping her to get on her feet. And how everything, I guess I came back full circle to where I'm originally born in California, is because I wanted to do what I loved, which was filmmaking and acting full time. And at the time I was living on the East Coast and I was working a full-time job for the government, and I was so bored. That this isn't what I wanted to do. You know, I loved the arts, but I didn't know how to make a living from it. Right. Mm. So I had another person I met on the East Coast. She wanted to be an actor and move out to LA. The typical story, right? Everybody wants to move to Hollywood to be an actor, right? It's just, it happens every day. So the only thing I would say that I had a little bit above her is that I was already an AFTRA artist. So I was already in the union as AFTRA. This was before SAG and AFTRA merged. So I was doing background acting. I was doing short films and things like that in New York. And so I had purchased my first house in my early 20s. And I just said, you know, I want to give all this up because I'm not happy. So I gave the house to my mom and I relocated here to LA. And I really focused on my acting and did auditions, and I got into SAG and SAG after merged. And, but I said, how am I going to make a living? And that's how we get to the point of me living in my car, right? So like any other actors, I'm not the only one. I actually had several people I met on auditions and film sets that they were all living in their car. This is just normal out here, honestly. Yeah, it's actually normal for a lot of actors do it. And I just said, you know, this is just getting to be a lot. I'm just tired of really just being the quote unquote struggling actor all the time. And so that's when I rolled back into school at Santa Monica College. And I was volunteering with the Boys and Girls Club as a mentor. I volunteered with Delta Sigma Theta. I actually was giving out food to the homeless. And I was living in my car. I was living in my car, all of these things. And it got to the point, I remember one night, this is when everything changed. I was in the car and I was just like praying because I felt like I just couldn't do this anymore. It was just weighing down on my body. And my ankles were actually, I forgot what they said. Something happened to my ankles where they blew up. Something, the blood, I forgot what it said. I forgot what happened. But anyway, my ankles were big because it was something where I wasn't, my legs weren't being elevated properly because I was sleeping in a car. So the blood wasn't flowing, you know, to where it needed to be. And yeah, it was affecting my body. That's the point. Mentally, emotionally, physically. Because I'd been doing this for, you know, a whole year, and then off and on, I would go back to do it. I would get a place and then go back into my car and say, oh, I need to stack money. There's things I want to do. And I've always had money coming in, right? I had many things going on, but I didn't want to live in a neighborhood where there was roaches and all types of bugs and in the hood. And I said, well, it's safer. And I know it sounds weird to hear this, but it was safer actually and cleaner for me to be in my car. And would park my car in Beverly Hills and Santa Monica and upper class areas. I worked at time 24-hour fitness. So I would get up every morning. I would take a shower. I'd wash my clothes once a week. I had a storage that I put all my stuff in storage. All my clothes were hung up in storage. I would stop in my storage, get new clothes. My trunk was perfectly organized. My car, I vacuumed out all the time. It was clean. Nobody knew. Nobody knew I was in my car, except for, you know, the other actors that I talked to. But after doing all that, I just said, you know, I just need something normal because my body is literally, it's taking a toll on me. So that one night, I'll never forget, I was in the car, I was crying and I was just praying. And I said, God, look, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I need a change. I need help. And within minutes, I got an email from the Black Student Union at UCLA. It was through Santa Monica College. They partnered all the time with UCLA, with the Black Student Union and the Black Collegians. And so they said they were having a tour at UCLA for, you know, all the transfer students. And I had never thought about going to UCLA. Never thought about it. Never. No, I didn't want to be in college. I did not want to be in college. I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to act, be on set. That's all I cared about.
I don't have time for this right now, okay?
I didn't care about education. But the thing is that my father, who was an immigrant from Trinidad, he worked his way as an adult. He came here to the States and he got a PhD in psychology. He became a psychologist. And he, unfortunately, he passed of cancer. But before he died, he said, please promise me that you are going to graduate, at least finish your associate's degree, at very least. So because of him, I stayed in school. I didn't want to be in school. I hated school, but I made a promise that I would finish. So because of him, I stayed at Santa Monica College and pushed through. And that's when I got that email that they were having a tour. So I signed up, went to the you know, sign up for the tour. And when I physically got to campus, I'll never forget, when I got to UCLA for the very first time ever, I walked off the bus and I start walking around the campus, and something inside spoke to me. God spoke to me and said, "You're home."
Wow.
And just even now,
did you feel afraid when you heard that, or you were just...
No, I wasn't afraid, because I had been praying, like, what am I gonna do? Like, I can't live like this anymore. Like, my body is breaking down.
Yeah.
And when he said, "You're home," I lit to this, just thinking about it, I feel like I'm just getting filled up, because I didn't have a home for so long. And I told some of the other students that, you know, I worked with at Santa Monica in the math lab. I remember telling them what happened, and they looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, yeah, okay, okay. And I was like, but y'all, I'm going to UCLA. I mean, I never thought I would go to even get a bachelor's, but this is where I'm supposed to be. They're like, yeah, okay. No, of course, UCLA is one of the hardest, like, it's top school in the nation.
I was about to say, that's not easy to get into.
Right? And I had bad grades. Like, I wasn't one of those people.
Not Maya.
I didn't care about school. I was, like, barely making it. But something inside was like, you have to, like, this is your destiny. This is your calling. So I actually put in the work. And I joined a transfer program called Triple CP. It's a transfer between community colleges and UCLA. So I joined that. I got in. And I remember not even knowing what major, because I didn't think about going to school. But I just prayed. I was like, what major should I be in? And there was a major that I found. It was called World Arts and Cultures in a specialized school called the School of Arts and Architecture. So not only do you have to get into UCLA, because that's hard enough, but you also have to get into, this is a specialized school, like the film school. I think it had, the film school may have like a 2% acceptance rate. The School of Arts and Architecture had like a 4% acceptance rate at the time. Wow. Okay. So even if you get into UCLA, that doesn't mean you get into the art school. You have to get into both.
So you got into one and you're like, now I got to cross this next hurdle.
Well, the thing is, before I even applied to UCLA, what I did is I went to the director of the School of Arts and Architecture. And it, at the time, it happened to be a Black woman, Danja, which to this day, she still gives me recommendation letters.
Aww.
I sat down and talked to her and I told her, I said, I told her my story. I said, I'm homeless. I'm an artist. I'm a filmmaker. And I just basically poured my heart out to her. And I kept in contact with her through the whole time of me applying to UCLA.
Wow.
And I'll never forget, I was in a Starbucks and I was sitting there with somebody, because I was in the Urban League Young Professionals organization, and I was there with someone from that organization, and the email came in for UCLA, and I said, I can't open it, even though I already knew this is where I'm supposed to be. I can't open it, because it's just too overwhelming. So she opened it and she said, "Maya, you're in," I literally broke down and started crying, and at Starbucks, I was just so overwhelmed, because it wasn't about getting into UCLA. It was about having a place to live, having food, cooked food.
Wow.
And the fact that I got a full scholarship to UCLA, which I didn't have to pay for school, and on top of that, extra money to live off of from the scholarship.
Wow.
It was literally life-changing for me. And going through the process of going from living in your car to living in a dorm, you know, around people, I had PTSD. I just had so many things happening. Yeah. Adjustment disorder, and also social anxiety disorder. All of these things were the after effects of living in my car and being around people.
Yeah.
So, and if I would fast forward from that, right, I graduate from UCLA, because I'm a transfer student, so I only have so much time, you know, to be
That's
there.
That's right. That's right.
So I have to really get in and get everything I can, which is what I did. And right when COVID in what is around when I graduated in 2021, I got even more money because of COVID from UCLA. And I took that money. Yes. And I took that money and I got an apartment. Because I said, if COVID is going to hit, I need to make sure, because suppose I die tomorrow, anything could happen to me. So I didn't want to get a cheap apartment. I said, no, I'm moving to a luxury high rise. Like, you know, like the Griffins. I said, I'm moving on up. I said, because anything could happen to me. Am I going to just like die from COVID? No, I'm going to live my best life. So that's what I did. I moved to a luxury high rise, UCLA. They gave me enough to pay my rent for an entire year. And that's when I started my business, Chill Vibrations. That's when I started it. And I offered
in 2020.
In 2021, I started Chill Vibrations. And I offered free and low-cost services to individuals virtually that were suffering from depression, anxiety, any type of adjustment disorder because of going through COVID. And at the time I had no degree aside from a bachelor's, right? But I had no degree in mental health. So UCLA actually gave me a scholarship for a program called Social Emotional Arts, where we were trained by mental health clinicians who also had degrees in art therapy, and they trained us how to use art as a way of coping and, you know, healing from depression and anxiety. So I used those things to create my business, Chill Vibrations. And so many people were struggling. So I couldn't even, half of the people, I'd even charge them. And I was struggling too, but I said, you know, I'm doing what I love. And because of that, I submitted my story to UCLA, and they actually honored me and my business with the Bruin 100 Business Award last year for the work that I did for Chill Vibrations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And if we would fast forward after that, during COVID, I was like, I said, there is more mental health work I need to do. But because I'm not licensed, I don't have any experience and background, I said, I want to do more. How do I do that? And then I saw a program for marriage and family therapy online. I applied. And now I actually just finished my master's in clinical psychology in August. So now I have my coaching business. And I also work as a BIPOC EMDR therapist, which is trauma work. EMDR is eye movement desensitization reprocessing, which essentially takes anyone's traumatic memory, thought, experience, and helps to desensitize it so that they're able to not be as triggered. That's what the process is for EMDR. So I do that as a clinician, and then I'm also a relationship coach for my own business.
I love that. Wow. That's a lot, first of all, Maya. Okay, you gave me so many notes I got to unpack on this sheet of paper. But one of the themes that I've heard you say is I prayed. One of the other themes I heard you say is I applied. And one of the other ones was that you did not want to stay bored in a job. So being able to share that with people, that is amazing. This story, your story, your testimony is very inspiring to me. And another thing that I heard you say a few times is God told me, God said, God told me, God said. And I'm like, wow, you know, your faith, regardless of, you know, you're saying your mom, you and your mom grew up poor, and then your family helped you and you went back to California, you went to New York, and it is so inspiring. Like, what would you share with people who may be going through things and they feel like, I can't, there is no way that God or whomever they serve, whatever higher power, what would you say to them if they are saying, listen, Maya, I really want to talk to you. I'm in a space in my life and I'm stuck. Like, what do I do? what would you say to them? What would be your most powerful bit of advice?
Well, I would say my most powerful bit of advice would be, you can't do anything by yourself. Like, I personally didn't do anything I did by myself. I wasn't also afraid to ask for help. You know, I think everyone has to come to a certain place in your life that you're able to let go of your pride and say, I need help. There are so many places that will help you for free or low cost, whatever your situation is. I actually am speaking at USC, on a panel this Friday, and it's for artists as entrepreneurs event. And in this event, I was chosen to speak on the panel because of my story and what I went through and how I believed in myself. But at the same time, I didn't do it by myself. You know, I went online and I looked and I found places and organizations that were free or low cost to help me to be able to do what I loved. I reached out to my current connections at UCLA, Santa Monica College, and I told them, like, hey, I need help. Like, this is my vision. This is what I want to do. How can you help me? And people, sometimes it's hard to believe that people want to help you without getting something, but there are actually people out there that do want to help you. And they're not expecting anything. Like, I helped people the whole time in COVID and I didn't charge anyone or barely charge them anything because I knew they didn't have it. And I was so passionate about helping them. So now to this day, with UCLA One, I volunteer my time with undergraduate students and I help them when they're interested in the mental health field. I volunteer my time to meet with them on Zoom and help them. So I would say if anyone's in that position, they're struggling and they don't know where to turn, there is always a place that can support you. I also worked on the Volunteers of America crisis line, graveyard shift, and I would have people all the time. I worked from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning. And people would call all the time with no help. And that is a free resource. People can call so many crisis lines. They'll help you with housing, food, resources, therapy, all types of things. That's what they're there to do.
Is that just for California or that's worldwide?
That anywhere. There is a 411 is the number for resources anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. If I'm not mistaken, it's 411 or 211. Because I haven't worked for Volunteers of America for a while. But it's one of those numbers. But the thing is that I would say anytime that you don't know where to go and don't know where to turn, everyone pretty much has a smartphone, right? We all have access to that. Even if you're unhoused, there is government assistant phones, so you can have some type of smartphone and just look up things online, where are free resources, and then just start from there. Just start wherever you can. Volunteers of America, they help people no matter, they're all over. We help people in all different states and cities, it didn't matter. And people would call the crisis line just to talk. They were sad, they were lonely, they were depressed, whatever they were going through. And there's so many lines like that. There's lines for like the Trevor Project for the LGBTQ community. There is so many limitless resources that are available and that will help you, even if you don't have anything. And there's going to be somebody that is going to want to be there to support you because that's what they're there. Some of the people are volunteering their time. Some people are working. But many of us that are in this mental health field, we're there because we genuinely want to help. I'm not saying everyone, but... there are many people that genuinely want to help and support people. That's why we're in this field.
I love that. You know, as we get ready to wrap up, one of the things that I've heard tonight is your very powerful sense of self-awareness. I think oftentimes we don't know where we are And we will imposter ourselves through things, and we will, I'll just do this or I'll just do that to try and keep up or hide things. And it's so refreshing to hear your testimony and to hear your story and how you are helping other people. This is amazing to me. And she is, again, the founder of Chill Vibrations, Just Chill. And we can find you at that website, right? If people want to reach out to you, book a strategy call, that's available to them, right?
Yes, it is. I don't charge for that, even though I know sometimes people say, oh, you should charge for everything. But to me, that doesn't feel authentic to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to know who I'm working with and they need to know who I am. So why should I have to charge for that? That's just my opinion and stance right now. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I am a coach as well in my own field, leadership coaching. That's what my doctorate is in strategic leadership. So I completely understand. There are some people where I just give scholarships and they just look at me like, what? Like compared to prices that I've seen. And it depends, really, like you said, you have your faith and God is your anchor. So he will give you the discernment of who, you know, needs that. And then they'll perpetuate that same behavior with other people. So listen, thank you for coming on today. I'm going to give you the opportunity to give last words before we close out. And I just want to say thank you. It has been an absolute honor to meet you. So your last words and then we'll close out.
I mean, I'm just so happy that I got to be here and meet with you, especially because knowing that you got your doctorate in leadership, because that's what I aspire to do next, actually. Oh, I want to get a doctorate in leadership as well. So I'm just, you know, I love to surround myself with uplifting, positive people that just like you, that I can just network with and speak with. It always warms my heart to do that.
I love it. Listen, everybody, Maya DeJong, who is in California right now, that California smile. Thank you all for coming on and listening to us this week. We will be in the same place next week at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you all. Thank you for dialing into the Married to My Purpose podcast. And we'll see you all next week. Signing out. Bye now.